Hi, and welcome to Rule of Carnage. My name is Glenn Ford. I'm a games developer and designer, and I'm here talking to Mike Hutchinson.
Hello, I'm Mike Hutchinson. I also design and develop games, mostly tabletop miniature games, which I believe will be the subject of today's conversation.
As is very much usual, the subject of our conversation on Rule of Carnage is going to be tabletop miniatures games. So today we're going to have a little chat about, it's a chat that I've chosen to call Features versus Flaws. How to tell one from the other and whether to worry about your flaws and how to make them into features and pros. And part of the reason that this sort of subject popped into my head when I was making notes on it is way back when, and this is a little story you did mention on Rule of Carnage once before, but back when Gaslands was in its very developmental playtesting stages, there was a session where somebody got out in front during the race and they got blown up and lost the race horribly, and Mike said whoever's in the lead at the start of the race always loses, inevitably. And, you know, at that point, my question was, well, why does anyone ever want to go into the lead of the race?
And I can't remember at that point whether that was an observation or a design principle that I was proudly crowing about. I don't recall.
It felt like you were proud of it at the time. And it felt like you were touting it as a feature of the game. The good thing about this game is
because it sort of did a Mario Kart thing. So if there's a way of knocking the front guy off, then it was sort of doing a Mario Kart thing. But yeah, it wasn't.
Well, the difficulty with that feature, I think, was that it led to more experienced veteran players going, well, I'm not going to try and get in front. It's idiocy trying to get in front. I'll just lay at the back. And then everybody's doing, you know, like at school when you're a child and you do one of those slow races where, you know, whoever crosses the finish line last wins. And people are then going backwards and arguing about whether you can shuffle backwards or not in the race. And you just encourage everyone to just never shift up a gear and sidle along behind everybody else. And it had the option to become problematic. And the point of it is, you know, from that, Gaslands develops to be a game where someone normally either just about scrapes home, blows up, you know, just before the finish line, or blows up whilst they're going over the finish line. And by working on that point of whoever's in front is going to get shot at and building it into a sort of climactic moment for the race, that initial flaw with some tweaking and some balancing and some smoothing and some looking at it became, I think, one of the main features of Gaslands. People always saying it's like, you always end up finishing sort of with one hull point or zero hull points. It's always this tense sort of last moment thing. And I think figuring out how to identify the things in your game that are flaws and identifying the things in your game that would be flaws if you didn't polish them, and turning those flaws into those features. I say turning the fact that the guy in the lead always gets shot up, but he's still the guy in the lead, into a feature is hopefully something we might be able to look at a bit in this conversation and talk about how people can pin those things down and identify one from the other.
Yeah, and I guess also turning that round as well, there's definitely a painful moment where you realize that one of the things that you thought was a key feature of your game turns out to be a flaw, and it's actually keeping the design from being as good as it can be. I know that's a pretty obvious kill your darlings topic, but there are some fun moments where you realize, oh goodness, that thing I thought was inalienable is actually crud and I need to get rid of it.
I think also sometimes you start building a game and you sort of put the game together with the things that you think are the spine of it, are the central elements. And then after a little while, when the game is built, you suddenly realize the things that you thought were the spine are actually like a scaffolding. Mm-hmm. And they're now just getting in the way of the thing that's the actual sort of beating heart of the game. You've got to rip that scaffolding away. And you feel you're tearing the heart out of the game. And then you actually do it, and it's like, oh, wow, look, the game is fine. This stuff just falls right off. We take it out and nobody's noticing any issues. I think there are a few points with A Billion Suns where there were things that felt like they were the spine and felt like they were the beating heart, or we did some things that were quite outlandish and it felt like they were just going to break the thing to pieces. And it turned out that they just, you know, they slotted right in. Like the two table thing in A Billion Suns felt like it was the sort of thing that was going to take an absolute nightmare to make work. And you just did it and it's like, oh, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. It barely even needs writing.
And some of that scaffolding can be quite deliberate in that you're like, well, I need to get this game on the table, so I'm going to throw some rules in because I need to just get this thing working. But I do like that idea that, because I did have this with A Billion Suns, because I went back to the original design brief quite recently for one reason or another. And there's a sort of list of features that I pitched to Offspray, very few of which made it into the final game, which perhaps makes me a disingenuous game pitcher. But those were all things that I hypothesized would be fun things for the game. And then once I put them all in, and then started tweaking the movement phase or tweaking the activation or tweaking the command thing, like those things that felt like the original, the unique features ended up just being like less exciting than the things that emerged from the block of marble as the act of game design was sort of getting done.
Yeah, I think if people look back in the show notes a few episodes of Rule of Carnage ago, Leviathans is in the show notes. You post up for people to look over, and I assume you're talking about what was Leviathans when it was.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, there were some really critical ideas in that, like, you know, you'll have the ability to sort of customize the builds of your ships a bit like Gaslands, which is a lovely idea and would still be a good idea in a game that wasn't A Billion Suns with the sort of you can buy any ship idea that emerged. So those kinds of features. I'm trying to think, there was one other that really didn't make it in as well. That's slipping my mind right now. But it seems to me perfectly reasonable that you should come at a design, you know, even if you're not literally pitching it to someone, you come to a design with a sort of pitch of like, well, here are the things that are going to be cool about this, because I need to have at least three cool things about it that are going to be, you know, if not different, at least exciting and a cocktail of the new. And that's a perfectly good place to start. And if you can design all those three things in, then you'll probably come up with three more. And maybe one of those is actually better than you started with and so forth.
Yeah. So I think there is a slightly, I'm not going to say obvious, but it's an oft said thing of that sort of kill your darlings thing. You go into the design thinking that certain things are central to it, that, you know, that they are the absolute be all and end all. And then once the game gets to a certain, I know, critical mass, a certain size and weight, you can start realizing that none of those ideas are precious, none of them are ultimate. And if they are now, if they've been sort of pushed out to being the scaffolding, the exoskeleton, the game rather than its heart, you know, don't be precious about dropping them, and, you know, be willing. I think, again, in relation to like the conversation we were just having about Hobgoblin and the design principles of Hobgoblin. And one of the tricky things about this is identifying the things that are scaffolding mechanics versus the things that are design principles. Because again, you know, I think with Hobgoblin, there have been points where you drifted away from your design principles.
Well, yeah, no, and you're exactly right. And it's fun having people to challenge you on that stuff, because I don't necessarily know what point I'm going to cross over from the design from I am throwing darts at a dartboard to find out what's important and what's not important, to the point where I'm like, no, I understand exactly where the core of this game is, and I will defend these parts of the game to the nines or continue focusing on making them better. The other thing I was going to mention, which is maybe worth exploring as well, is we've had this experience a fair bit where people keep pointing out something as a feature, or they keep pointing it out as a flaw, and you don't necessarily know if that's going to be useful or not useful. So I guess as you're playtesting I have found when I'm playtesting a new miniatures game, if somebody starts to point out a flaw or point out a feature that they enjoy, that becomes something that I'm kind of excited to look at. I'm trying to think of an example of, like, in Gaslands, there's a thing that people quite often point to, which is, wait, the faster you go, the more you can shoot. That seems like a flaw in the game's design. And it might be. I'm not going to defend that one with my life, but it's certainly something that, like, well, that was a deliberate decision. It was a considered decision. We have play tested other decisions, so it's not a flaw. It is a feature. It might not be the best feature, but it is there intentionally. Well,
I think the sort of possibly a definition, but a point to make here is, I think there's a difference between flaws that are potentially just flaws or issues or things that people will have issues with in your game, and they're just going to be, you know, concreted into it on some level, and you've got to sort of understand your game, understand your audience, you know, and ask people to accept it or not. And things that are movable feasts and can be altered and can be tweaked and can either be chopped out or made better and made to work. And I think that thing with Gaslands, with the fact that the more time, you know, the higher gear you're in, the faster you're going, the more times you get to shoot, it's a thing that it doesn't make sort of logical sense in the world of physics and reality, but it makes absolute sense in the world of sort of arcade game, you know, logic.
It also weirdly makes sense in the sped up filmmaking of George Miller, where things get more exciting, and so the actual film speeds up. So I don't know, like,
yeah, no,
it's
no
Mad
no,
Max, I, man. Like, it's canonically Mad Max.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In this sort of video game world of, you know, as you're traveling faster, you get, like, full of adrenaline, and the world slows down around you. How racked up! It makes total sense to the. At the moment, I'm converting up some. Rule of Carnage stuff, and I keep doing things, and it's like, well, this is an insane thing for the person on this vehicle to be doing. This is virtually suicidal. And I think, which is absolutely canonically perfect. That's it. You watch Mad Max, and they're constantly doing things. It's going. That person won't survive 5 minutes doing that, and then they don't survive 5 minutes, and the person's totally fine with it. It's like, yeah, that's bang on for the world you're creating, and that's the thing. I think that the repeated, you know, the extra, the fact you get to shoot more times as you're driving faster is to a certain form of logic and reason and sensibility a flaw. It doesn't make sense. It's not simulationist. It can be counterintuitive, but it's a sort of flaw that is concreted into the foundations of Gaslands, because Gaslands says this is a game about going faster and driving faster and being more idiotic and pushing it further and pushing it harder. And if you sign on for that, you know, manifesto, then this is going to make absolute sense to you, and you wouldn't want it any other way.
And it is in that design principle of going faster is one of the biggest gifts that you get given. Obviously, an activation is a huge gift, and so you want to go faster. But the fact that activation has another attack step in it, because we did playtest, like, you can attack once in a turn, so it doesn't matter how many times you activate, you can run donuts around the desert, but you can only attack once. But it was more bookkeeping and less fun.
That seems like a good place to take a quick break.
I guess another thing that I want to throw on the table for this discussion is there will be flaws. And in some respects, the question is about figuring out which flaws you can live with and which flaws really make you sad or make the game really crummy. Because no game's going to be perfect. It's all a set of little compromises to try and figure out the best balance between it being simple, it being playable, it being fun, it being a chewy challenge. And I guess I don't have a heuristic for that, but there's definitely a sense of a gut instinct of, like, you know, when you're at the point when something is getting brought up again and you're like, I can live with that, like, I know it's not perfect, but I've tried three different ways of doing it. Gaslands, yeah. Collisions is a pretty clear example of that. Like, I don't love the collision system in Gaslands. I think like I'm pleased with it, and it's the best of all the ones that I've experimented with. But there are flaws with it, but they're flaws that I can live with because I've seen all of the other realities, and there's bigger flaws or more complexity.
I think it's the difference between accepting flaws and understanding them. You know, accepting flaws is where you're just going, you know what, that'll do, that's fine, it's flawed, but whatever. Understanding them is going, this is part of the best possible system. This is the best of all possible worlds, and it has this flaw or this janky bit or this thing that's going to make people go in it. And that's just, and that's how it is. I don't, you know, I'm not accepting it, but I understand it. I know why it's in there. Because I think, you know, once you've designed a game and put it out there, you'll get a lot of people who will come in and so go, okay, well, this bit should be like that, or this bit should be like that. And on the one hand, you want to listen to people and sort of be welcome to ideas. But the number of times you end up going, okay, look, you think it should be like that, but note that if it's like that, then this will go like that, and this will go like that, and that will happen. Mm. And very often it's like, you know, yeah, we can change the thing you have a problem with, but the upshot of it is way more upsetting, and you'll be much more unhappy if we tweak it in the way that you're saying. You know, a lot of other things will, you know, this is a bit of a house of cards, which we've pulled that out previously, and then we've played with that house of cards, and trust me, you don't want that, you know.
It's not always completely obvious, though. So I'm thinking back to Perilous Tale.
The point of this conversation, it's not completely obvious.
Yeah, no, but to give a concrete example of it's not completely obvious. Perilous Tales, which is my solo game of set up five pulp miniatures heroes against four or five or six pulp baddies or Cthulhoid monsters or Hammer horror type, universal horror type baddies. There's a mechanic in that where you can go into sort of Overwatch, where you can trade some of your action points with your heroes to go into a sort of, I can't remember what it's called, like cover me or look over there or something. And the way that the game works is that lots of games with a turnover system, it's got this thing where if you sneak up on a threat token, which are the places where the monsters are hiding, you can flip the token over, and if it's a monster, the monster ambushes, it interrupts your turn, and so you lose the rest of your activations and the monster comes after you. And so I really like and have enjoyed all of the games that I've played with this Overwatch mechanic, where some people sneak up and they go into Overwatch or cover me or whatever, and then somebody walks forward and takes the final fatal step to trigger the hiding place of the monster, and the monster pops out and everyone goes ah and shoots them. And I've had lots and lots of feedback that people didn't like the fact that it just felt like all you would do is you would line up your Overwatch dude, step one person out, and you would always use the same tactic. And it's true that it's a bit of an obvious place that you go to with the tactics of the system, but I really I'm still not sure whether it's a flaw to be fixed or whether it's just that there's some other things around the edge that need to be dialed up or down, so that, you know, maybe that shooting attack is slightly weaker, or the most recent thing that we tried was you can have everybody shooting it, but every time you shoot the vampire it comes closer, and so you can surround it with gunshots, but it's gonna George Miller accelerate into the hail of bullets and tear your poor traps bringing hero to pieces. But it's interesting because it's not universal, but there are like a solid blob of feedback that's like, this feels kind of naff. It feels like I'm trying to do a horror thing, but actually I'm doing a kind of tactical urban squad shooting thing, and maybe that's not as pulpy as I was expecting. But I don't know, it's a really tricky one, because I like the way it feels, and because I'm designing the game, like I play in a lot of different ways in order to sort of see what different things feel like. So I'm not the best person to know whether that like obvious tactic is the thing that feels crummy because you always do it. So yeah, that's my example of like, eesh, is it a flaw? Is it a cool feature? I don't know.
I think, I mean, speaking personally in relation to that part of Perilous Tales, the problem with it, and the where it is a problem, it's when you're sort of going, okay, I'm a doofus to not do this. It's not that it's like, you know, it's not problematic that I might choose to do it repeatedly. If I choose to play the game in a very sort of repetitive fashion, but there are like multiple paths to victory, well, that's my lookout. I'm choosing to grind the game. You know, if that's what I want to do, that's what I want to do. It's my gaming session. The issue is where you go, okay, I'm going to try one of the alternative versions. And then at every step where you're doing the alternative version, you're going, I'm just an idiot. I'm an idiot. Why am I doing this? This is just, I should just be doing the other thing. And then you go through it. It's like, okay, it wasn't more fun or spectacular, and I didn't get loads of extra sweeties. Yeah, I was an idiot for doing it. I'll stop being an idiot, and I'll just play the way that the game says, you know, clever boys play the game, you know? And what you want to do is you want to go, okay, look, if you want to make the game, you know, repetitive and predictable because you enjoy, you know, there's nothing wrong with a process game where you do stuff and time passes and then you finish doing stuff and something happens. That's fine. But if you want to go like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to send off a, you know, Rambo over here and, you know, a guaranteed to die guy, you know, decoying off in that direction. And that means that Rambo's going to get the drop on the bad guy and have vengeance upon him for the death of little Jimmy. You know, that works. And the guy who's just shooting, gallerying every guy, you know, is just missing out on all the, you've missed out on a treat by, you know, shooting, gallerying every ambush. If you'd done
that analysis of it, I think is super interesting because it opens up lots of places that you could go with this flaw in terms of like, one of the ways that you could do is to have objectives that forces the team to split up, and that would make that a less viable tactic. Or one of the things that you could do is accelerate the pressure or the pace of the game. So if you dawdle around, like sneaking up as a five pack on every little thing, then the game takes over, or you hit the end state before you've had a chance to do it. So there's lots of, yeah, it sort of reveals a bunch of like, well, if that's the best way to play, then make it not an effective way to play, thereby like forcing some decisions.
Yeah, and I think this is an important part of this conversation, is to say that you shouldn't hide from the flaws of your game or your system. Because, you know, I've had conversations with designers where you point out a flaw, you point out a problem, and you get the immediate sense that they're well aware of the flaw and they're well aware of the failing, and they've just been sort of burying their head in the sands because they want to say, well, if that's a flaw for you, you're playing my game wrong, and my game wasn't designed for you, and I don't need to fix that because the people my game is really for won't do that, or won't try to do that, won't be interested in that. And if you do that, you're having fun wrong, and so I won't fix it. And the people who want that and will love that will love it, and the people who don't love it aren't my people anyway, so stuff them. You know, and I think that's absolutely the wrong way to go about things. I think you need to, you know, you need to look at all of the flaws, and like I say, you know, fix the ones you can fix, understand the ones that are central to the game, and better and build something out of the ones that can have, because most of them are opportunities, you know, not to sound sort of.
I had a boss who used to say that all the time. When something absolutely monstrously terrible would happen at work, he would go, "What a fabulous learning opportunity!" Yes. Anyway, I think that's the crucial takeaway. Embrace your flaws; they're a fabulous learning opportunity.
Yeah, I genuinely, because if there's a flaw in your game, what it means is that a certain sort of person and a certain sort of player is going to run from your game like it's trying to kill them. And if you can get that person just running in the opposite direction, then you've got a hardcore screaming fan. You can do that. You can make flaws into features. Like I say, with Gaslands, what was a flaw became, I think, you know, a central part of one of the best features about the game. How tight and close and climactic and storied every ending you know, of a Gaslands race became. Just before we sign off on this conversation, I'd like to, you know, this is something that occurred to me in relation to this, is that Gaslands specifically attracted a lot of non-miniature gamers to playing miniature games, right? And addressing a non-miniatures gamer with a miniatures game comes with, it brings with it a lot of inherent challenges and problems. Which of those challenges do you think sort of showed up, maybe showed up things that wouldn't be considered flaws to a miniatures gamer, but would be a flaw to someone who had never played one before, and how did you deal with them?
The biggest one is terrain and like building the board. There's no question about that. Like, that's the thing that people just go, where's the stuff that you need to play? And in many regards, like, I followed my heart and Micro Machines on the Game Boy. And like, terrain isn't super, it's really important, but it isn't super like granular. Like, you could complain about the fact that Gaslands terrain is all sort of the same. It doesn't really matter whether it's a car or a box or a bush, or like, it doesn't really matter what it is. And that is a level of sort of simulation that is nowhere near the Gaslands game. And I think that intentionally or otherwise, like, helps with the fact that you can set it up with some pepper pots and some cans of baked beans and your toy cars, and you've basically got like a totally functioning race. So yeah, that, I think that was the biggest one to get over for miniature gamers.
Cool. All right, so we will sign off on this part of this conversation. We may or may not come back and try and help you to battle out the flaws. We might move on to a completely different
subject. If we tell you all of that things, then you might get ahead.
that is totally not the ethos that we're promoting here. It is a collaboration, not a combat. For now, we're going to sign off on this part of Rule of Carnage. If you've enjoyed the conversation, despite our unwillingness or inability to in any way assist you, please give us a like and a subscribe. Maybe what's brilliant about us not giving any direct assistance is it gives you questions to ask in the comment section.
That was a deliberate flaw. It's a feature of this podcast.
It's a feature, not a flaw. There you go. See what we did there? If you've got a part of your game that you think is a flaw, pop it in the comment section. Ask, maybe we can work together and figure something out, turn it around, make it into a feature, make it to a central part of the game. But for now, and until next time, I think we're going to say goodbye.